This is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you for the next couple of hours as we get set for Week 11 in the NFL, continuing this afternoon, this morning, if you're on the West Coast. Appreciate everyone getting up with us this morning. Reach the show anytime on Twitter at SNS Ali with two L's, at MattyMar89, at The Fantasy Show. And, of course, as always, the people's text line, 590-590 is the number to text. Leave your name and location. We'll get to as many texts as possible at the top of the second hour. But rest assured, all of your messages, your text messages, will go answered before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. Matt, before we get started, I do think it's important to note a programming change for us next week. We still will be going on the air at 8 a.m. Eastern next Sunday, but due to the World Cup, Canada will be taking on Croatia, I believe, next weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern. So the one and only Jeff Blair will be on the air from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern with a World Cup preview show. So for our purposes here on The Fantasy Show, just be sure to get your text messages in early next weekend because it will be a one-hour fantasy show for us. You're actually coaching the youths in a hockey tournament next Sunday, so it all works out in the end. But does this mean with that hockey tournament, are you going to be missing the Bills and the Canada game?
Well, you know, Sho, there's when you commit to doing something, you commit to doing it 100%. And we just we'll be traveling Thursday during the game. And the Bills game, that is. So we'll be leaving bright and early. So I'll probably have to watch a little bit on my phone. Hopefully we get to the hotel in time that I can finish watching the game in the comfort of my Zubas pants on the bus.
There you go.
And then in the hotel room. And then on Sunday, we are either traveling back or we are playing in the semifinal during Canada-Croatia. So it's going to be a rough weekend for me over here, Sho. But I will endure and I will get through it.
Do you think that the Bills will actually play both later today and then again on Thursday because of all this weather craziness that's been going on?
Yeah, I do. I think the thing that got me was I don't understand, firstly, why they didn't leave Friday.
Yeah, right.
Or Thursday, if you knew that the snow was going to be this bad. They did get there and they arrived and everything last night. But the other thing is, and I know these players have families and whatnot, but I don't understand why they're not staying in Detroit ahead of Thursday's game. It just boggles my mind at this point. But hey, if they want to spend the however many hundreds of thousands of dollars to travel back and forth, that's their call. They're making a lot more money than I am.
Yes, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope they're making more money.
Very good point. Very good point.
And you are. Okay, yeah, but I just wanted to make sure that was mentioned because, yeah, it's going to be a one-hour fantasy show next week, 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern, and George and the guys will still have Inside the Lines from 11 a.m. From 11 a.m. onwards, as they usually do. So you can still get all your betting information in with those guys, but for us, just a one-hour fantasy show. So be sure to get in your text messages next week, bright and early. I always recommend if you are going to be not be getting up super early, you can always text us actually on Saturday night. We actually do get a lot of texts on Saturday night, and they stay in the queue overnight. So if you want to do that next weekend, please feel free. But again, 590-590 is the people's text line. We'll answer your text messages at the top of the next hour. Matt, let's get started by looking back to Thursday night. And it's not this season to forget for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Tennessee Titans winning 27-17. Titans now 7-3. Again, Packers 4-7 on the season. Boy, Aaron Rodgers, he went 24 for 39, 227 yards. He had two touchdowns, both thrown to Christian Watson, who was, of course, the hottest waiver wire pickup in the fantasy football world this past week. So Christian Watson, Marchese, had four catches for 48 yards. He had two touchdowns. I believe he dropped a third. And he also had, if you go back to last weekend, because, of course, the Packers have now played twice since we last spoke about Christian Watson, the Packers won 31-28 in a wild win over the Dallas Cowboys. But in that game, Christian Watson had four catches for 107 yards and 3 touchdowns. So that means in the past 2 games, Christian Watson has had 8 catches and 6 of them, 5 of them have been for touchdowns. Is that sustainable going forward?
It has to be, right? You have to be able to catch 2 or 3 touchdowns.
That'd be nice.
Don't you? I mean, here's the thing. He's been super efficient. Obviously, that's not sustainable. We know that. The only thing with Christian Watson that we've had to try and figure out this year is when is he going to be healthy? It looks like he's healthy right now. And that was the only thing holding him back. There was obviously talent there. And the other thing that is important to note is he did need to get the trust of Aaron Rodgers. When he dropped that sure touchdown in week 1, you knew that it was going to take a little bit more time for him to garner the trust of Aaron Rodgers. But now that he's had it, it does seem like he's going to be more involved down the stretch here. I know it hasn't been an ideal fantasy season for Aaron Rodgers, far from it, actually. But at least he's shown a little bit of promise over the last 2 weeks. I think he has 5 touchdown passes over the last 2 weeks. And the offense still, you know, even the late fourth down call to run Aaron Jones, like, I get it. It's Aaron Jones, but have a little bit of deception so that give yourself an opportunity, maybe run an RPO or something just to make the defense think a little bit. Like, they ran right at Jeffrey Simmons, who's one of the better defensive linemen in the NFL, and they just got stopped on fourth down, and then they sealed it off for the win. Tennessee did. I think as much as this has been on Aaron Rodgers, as much as this has been on the offensive line, I think the play calling has left a little bit to be desired with Matt LaFleur. I think with the injuries they've had at wide receiver, plus the Davante Adams leaving, I think that Matt LaFleur has tried to get too cute with the playbook at times, and they've gone away from what's been successful for them. You know, the short passing, kind of dink and dunk to open up the deep ball, and they just haven't done that. Are the wide receivers as good as Davante Adams? Not even remotely close. But I think that that's been a huge problem with this offense this year.
I just still think of that meme from the X-Men cartoon where, like, Wolverine's, like, sadly touching the picture of, I think it's Jean Grey in the cartoon, but instead it's Photoshop Aaron Rodgers' face onto Wolverine and then Davante Adams into that picture, right? He's just, like, lying on his bed. Please come back. Yeah, it's true. The Packers, I just, like I said to you before, I can't help but think the Packers are going to finish with, like, a top 5, top 7 pick, and they're going to have their pick of, you know, any QB in college football basically this year. And this is supposed to be a much better draft class for QBs than last year's draft class was supposed to be. And they're going to pick, like, a defensive tackle or, like, a cornerback or something like that. Or they'll have the opportunity to draft, like, the best wide receiver in the country, and they'll end up taking, like, another linebacker in the top 5 or something like that, right? A fullback, Brent, our operator says, yeah, a fullback. It's something like that's going to happen at 1,000%. I can't wait for the meltdown in April when the draft comes around. Real quick, before we move on from this, Matt, the Tennessee Titans scoring 27 points, Derrick Henry throwing a touchdown, not only running one in, he had 28 carries for 87 yards and a touchdown. He was 2 for 2 through the air for 4 yards and a TD pass as well. And the offense just looked way better, right? I know Tannehill threw a pick, but he was 22 of 27, 333 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. The offense just looked, it was, you know, a little conservative. And of course, they're handing the ball off 28 times to Derrick Henry. They handed it off once to Dontrell Hilliard, and Tannehill scampered himself 3 times. So way more runs than they'd had passes in this game. And that seems to be the MO of this offense. And it should be, as long as you have Derrick Henry with you there. But the Mike Vrabel coached Titans, even when they don't have that many offensive pieces, they never really look outmatched. And that, I mean, just beyond fantasy-wise, I mean, Treylon Burks had 7 catches for 111 yards. That is absolutely phenomenal. It's someone you can consider flex-wise going forward, I would think. But, boy, the offense with Tannehill under center and Vrabel as the head coach just looks steady. And if you're a Derrick Henry owner, you gotta feel great about that.
Well, Derrick Henry continues to defy logic, right? Every year, the wheels are supposed to fall off, and they don't. And he's just a monster of a human being. and as a running back, he's even bigger than a monster. But the, you know, the Tennessee Titans are one of the more confusing teams to me because I never think that they're that good, and they're 7-3. Like, it makes no sense. Like, this is a team that the Buffalo Bills absolutely ran roughshod on earlier in the year. They just hammered them. And it looks like two teams going in two entirely different directions. And I know early in the season, things are different and, you know, there's adjustments made. And I get all that. But I do not understand how the Tennessee Titans are 7-3. They were missing Treylon Burks for a good chunk of the season, and he didn't start off very well. And they missed Ryan Tannehill for a couple of games. And Derrick Henry, at the beginning of the season, did not really look like Derrick Henry. Wasn't great through the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season. And now you look at them and go, yeah, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the division. Hey, they may even be the best team in the AFC again. It's so mind-bending to me that in what we have determined is a passing league, that a team that is so run heavy like the Titans are continues to just, you know, win football games. And I know that a lot of that is because they have, you know, one of the two most pure runners in the NFL, and Derrick Henry, the other being Nick Chubb. I don't know, Show. They continue to confuse me. I don't get it. They have some talent on defense, but they're also missing Harold Landry, who was incredible last year and really did a great job in both pressuring the quarterback and stopping the run. They lose him for the season, and you're going, okay, there's a big hole in the middle of that defense. And just like they didn't miss a beat after struggling, you know, through the first, I think they lost the first two games of the season. Maybe it was three, and they've just continued to roll. I don't get it. I don't think a lot of people get it, but I certainly don't get it.
Do you think that Derrick Henry, if he continues, let's say he doesn't get injured like he did in seasons past, let's say he does, he continues, he finishes the season, let's say, the way he has been playing the last month or in a bit, and we go into 2023 and we talk about all the draft, you know, draft capital, who's in the first round. Gotta imagine Austin Eckler will be there. Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he was injured all of last year and he was still probably at worst the second or third overall pick this season. So if he finishes strong in San Francisco, I gotta imagine he will also be a first round pick. Maybe Jonathan Taylor bounces back now that he seems to be healthier. He certainly had a monster game last weekend. Where does Derrick Henry fall for you in the first round world? In 10-team leagues, 12-team leagues, 14-team leagues, doesn't really matter. I'm guessing he's probably a top five draft pick. And I know that kind of knock on him over the last couple of years has been, like you said, the wheels have got to fall off at some point. But he, like you said, I'll also say, Matt, he continues to defy logic. And we always kind of say, oh, well, he's not really involved in the passing game. He doesn't catch a lot of passes. Well, he has actually been catching more passes this season than I think he has in recent years. This past week on Thursday Night Football against the Packers, two catches for 45 yards. But regardless, where does Derrick Henry go in the first round next year? Is it a top five draft pick, or you think there'll be some receivers like Justin Jefferson, or I don't know, maybe Cooper Kupp? I know he's out for 6 to 8 weeks now, but do other receivers usurp him, or is Henry still a lock for a top five draft pick if healthy?
I he's going to be 29 when the season starts next year. And I don't know. I won't draft him in the top five. And I'll look like an idiot at the end of the year, just like I do every year when I say the wheels are going to fall off. Again, Derrick Henry is the epitome of trying to describe the Tennessee Titans, is that I don't get it, but it continues to happen. He has 18 receptions this year. That is one off of his career high, and he's done it in 10 games. Last year, he had 18 catches as well in 8 games, so he was probably going to have a much better season in terms of receptions last year before getting hurt. But they're using him in different ways. He throws passes now. It's like that. It's like that line from Friday Night Lights, the movie, when they're talking about Booby Miles. He can run. He can, and the uncle's describing all this, and he can pass, and he does that too. I mean, they're just finding ways to create space for Derrick Henry, and when he's in the backfield, you have to account for him, which does open things up. As for the top five conversation, I have a hard time with that. I figure Austin Ekeler, Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor probably still go in the top five. I find it really hard to believe that any, like, Justin Jefferson's probably the guy if there's going to be a wide receiver that goes in the top five. And then, I mean, you maybe could make a case, and some people will make the case that Nick Chubb should be going.
That's a good one too, actually. You know what? It's a good point, actually, about Nick Chubb.
I have to wait
to see what the Browns offense looks like when Watson is the guy under center and not Jacoby Brissett. Because they almost have to run the football. And this is not a slight against Jacoby Brissett. I have a lot of love for Jacoby Brissett, a lot of time for him because of what he did in multiple stops in different places around the league. Certainly in New England, the year they won the Super Bowl, and then in Indianapolis, and then now in Cleveland. But they kind of have to run the football with a quarterback like Jacoby Brissett. But I do wonder about Nick Chubb. It's a good point. At worst, if Derrick Henry, like, quote unquote, falls to you in a fantasy football draft, a redraft league, let's say, if Henry falls to you at like sixth or seventh, and again, maybe falling is the wrong word, but if he does, quote unquote, fall to you in the middle of the first round, you're probably going to be ecstatic. It's probably what happened to a lot of people this year, and you probably feel pretty good about it.
Here's what's going to happen, Sho. Derrick Henry is going to fall to me at number six or seven in a draft. I'm going to take him, and he's going to have his worst statistical year ever. that's what's going to happen. So if I do end up drafting Derrick Henry, I tell everyone, do not draft Derrick Henry. I just won't be that lucky. It just won't happen. It just won't happen. Like me having tons of shares of DeAndre Swift this year.
Okay, you know what?
Tons of them.
This just occurred to me, and I know we're going to get off this in a sec, but let me just ask you, just because you brought up Nick Chubb, where does Saquon Barkley go next year?
Oh, that was the other guy. He's definitely going in the top five. So that for me pushes Derrick Henry probably to like between 8 and 10.
Right.
Because then you throw in Justin Jefferson. You probably throw in Tyreek Hill in that mix as well.
I think you have to.
So, we are now, the more that we discuss this, the further we are pushing Derrick Henry down and probably out of the first round.
That seems so wrong. That seems wrong to me.
It doesn't to me because I'm expecting the downfall and he's going to have 2,000 rushing yards. Yeah, you could have the conversation of... I mean, you could have the conversation of Jalen Waddle as a late first round pick, the way that offense has been going. Stephon Diggs is in the first round, as long as he's playing with Josh Allen. So you've now, like, of those guys, it also depends on the format. Like, standard, Derrick Henry is going to go a little bit higher because there's a lot of touchdowns there. Like, Derrick Henry has had double-digit touchdowns every year for the last five seasons. Like, that's a lot of touchdowns. And that's when he started to get that workload, right?
Yeah.
2018 was when he, for the first time, got over 200 carries. And since then, he had 215, 303, 378,
Ooh.
219 last year in the injury-shortened season, and 230 already this year, and he's leading the league in rushing. So in PPR formats, he probably gets pushed down to around 10 to 12. But in standard, he's probably going in the top seven, is my guess.
Boy, honestly,
because running backs tend to go higher in those formats.
If you're getting Derrick Henry, you know, even if there is a slight drop off next year, and I mean, right now there's no like huge reason to suggest there would be. But if you do get Derrick Henry at a discount in 2023, and you're getting him at like the turn, let's say, at the 9, 10, or 11 to 12 spot, then, boy, I think you're going to feel pretty good about that. But I thought it was an interesting conversation. Obviously, it's one we'll have as we get a little further on into the fantasy season. Fantasy playoffs are actually approaching, so keeper deadlines for some people, or the trade deadline might be this weekend for a lot of people. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was Friday. Maybe it's this coming week, right? End of November typically generally tends to be the trade deadline, so people making their decisions on players they're going to keep next year if you're out of it. I see a couple of text line questions on that very subject, so don't forget, you can text us at 590-590, name and location, and we will get to all of your text line questions at the top of the next hour, and rest assured, any ones we don't get to on the air, we will answer off the air, certainly before 1 p.m. Eastern goes. Matt, let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we will start our start sits. We'll start with Bears at Falcons. I know you're itching to talk again about Justin Fields, and he's taking on the Falcons this week. So I think it's going to be a pretty good week for Mr. Justin Fields. So let's take a quick break, come back, do the start sits. You're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back to the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you until 10 a.m. Eastern as we break down every start, sit, injury news and notes. And of course, your questions on the People's Text Line, 590-590. Name and location is where you can shoot us a text message. Please leave your name and location if you do decide to do so. We'll do that at the top of the next hour. You know, it's funny, Matt, in the commercial break, I heard the sounder by our pal Dan Riccio out in Vancouver, kind of previewing the World Cup and previewing the first match between Qatar and Ecuador. And then he was like, oh, and then that match is later today. And I thought, oh, my gosh, yeah, I guess the World Cup starts today. In my head, because I am a horrible person, I just think that the World Cup starts whenever Canada starts, which is on Wednesday. But no, in fact, there are many games between Sunday and Wednesday. So actually, the World Cup starts today. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't know how much of Qatar Ecuador I'll be watching. I mean, I'll probably watch.
Yeah, watch a little.
I'm a sucker.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll watch a little bit. No, show you're not a horrible person because you think the World Cup starts when Canada starts. You would be a horrible person if you think that having a World Cup in Qatar is a good idea.
Yes, that is absolutely true. It's been a not a great process, to say the very absolute least. The most recent piece of news coming out of that, of course, is that there will be no alcohol served at the World Cup, which doesn't seem like the greatest. I honestly don't think that was a huge surprise, but I got to say that's for all the like thousands of people that went and rowdy football fans of all sports not being able to drink alcohol, that doesn't seem like it's going to go particularly well. I don't think.
Probably not. I do not envision this being a successful World Cup. They did spend $220 billion on the whole thing. So, I mean, I'm sure they won't be able to recoup that money.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, Belgium, Canada is the first Canadian game. That game is on Wednesday, November 23rd. And a lot of the programming, at least if you're local here in Toronto, will be at Cafe Diplomatico on Wednesday, including my show with Donovan Bennett, which will be a lot of fun. So we're going to be down there. But apparently they're having a street party down there basically all day. It's like from 12 to 9 p.m. They're like right out there on that like Bathurst area of Cafe Diplomatico. It looks like a lot of fun. So anyways, if you're going to be down there, come by and say hi. We'll be down there pretty much all morning and afternoon. But why don't we continue with our start sits here on the Fantasy Show, Matt. And Bears at Falcons, they promised this one to start. And Justin Fields is, I mean, certainly, he's probably locked in as a QB1 probably for the rest of the season, based on what we've seen out of him in the last couple of games. It's not really a problem per se, but I do think when you score 40 points in two straight games, that becomes something. Like if he gets like a modest 19 to 21 points today, and I mean they're playing the Falcons, so I feel like the chances for more are higher. But you know, if he gets like let's say 20 points, okay, let's say 20 points, people are going to be like, oh, Justin Fields, is Justin Fields regressing? Question mark. Like that's going to be the biggest story coming out of Week 11.
Yeah, and I said last week he was going to be QB1, and I dare I say that he's going to be QB1 again this week.
It's possible.
The Falcons are just and we'll get into the Falcons because I've got something to say about Arthur Smith and that cast of clowns. But Justin Fields has scored a rushing touchdown in four straight weeks. And in those four straight weeks, show, he has had less than 60 yards zero times. The last 2 weeks, he's had 147 rushing yards and 178 rushing yards. And the thing is, we focus on the rushing attack for Justin Fields. But in those 4 weeks, in games against New England, Dallas, Miami, and Detroit, he has only thrown two interceptions, two, eight touchdown passes. So Justin Fields is not only getting it done with his arm, but he's getting it done with his legs. The passing yards leave a little bit to be desired. He hasn't eclipsed 179 or 180 yards in those four games passing, but he's only thrown the ball 20, 28, 23, and 21 times. So he's getting it done in areas on his in his legs and in the red zone, he's been getting it done. And that is really boosted Cole Kmet. It's boosted Darnell Mooney to the point where you have to start both of those guys every week. The big news from Chicago this week was that Khalil Herbert was placed on the IR. And show, lo and behold, we are going to get David Montgomery playoff season again. Just like last year, where David Montgomery was like a top five running back during the playoffs, just like everyone had expected, and he wins championships for people. We're going to get that David Montgomery again because the Falcons just stink.
Yeah, they are. They're bad. They're a bad team, up top to bottom. They're going to be picking very highly in the NFL draft this coming year, this coming offseason. I want to get to two things on the Bears before we talk to the Falcons themselves. Cole Kmet, first, I do think you're right. TE1, he keeps on catching touchdowns as well. Again, kind of similar to the Christian Watson conversation we had earlier. Is it super sustainable? Probably not, but he is a big part, target share-wise, of that plan, that passing game plan in Chicago. So I think you can start him. But I think it's just like something to monitor when it comes to the thigh injury going forward, because, you know, if he doesn't play, then you don't want to be locked into someone who doesn't play, certainly. David Montgomery, though, I think you're right. High-end, the highest-of-end RB2s. My only question, and this is it's a very similar question you and I have discussed, when discussing Lamar Jackson and the running backs who are around Lamar Jackson, or when discussing Jalen Hurts and the running backs who are around him, like Miles Sanders and so on, how much does the quarterback running himself take away from carries for the running back? Like, for example, Fields has 5 rushing touchdowns in the last 4 games. So some competition for carries when it comes to David Montgomery.
For sure. The only reason, like Josh Allen is a guy that takes away from his running backs more so than Justin Fields does, because the Bills throw the ball a lot more. In Chicago's case, they run the ball a ton. So I think that when you look at that situation, like, David Montgomery's still going to get probably, like, with no Khalil Herbert there, and I would keep an eye on Treston Ebner's usage today, because he's a very capable pass catching back. I would see David Montgomery getting 18 carries today, or at least he's getting at least 15 carries. So in that case, Justin Fields does take away a little bit in the red zone, and certainly that does knock down David Montgomery's value. But the fact that the Bears just love to run the ball over 30 times a game says to me that David Montgomery is still going to get his. With no Khalil Herbert there, I think that there is some value. When we mentioned, you know, a situation like Baltimore, and Baltimore specifically, because when Gus Edwards is back, and we don't know that that's going to happen, we'll get to that later, they'll use Gus Edwards, they'll use Kenyon Drake, they'll use Justice Hill. Whereas in Chicago, they only use the two guys, and now that Khalil Herbert's out, I think we're going to see a ton of David Montgomery. So I think, yes, he does take a hit on his touchdown value, which is not a predictable stat, by the way, but he's still going to get his. He's still going to get usage in the passing game. I still like David Montgomery, and I think you're right. For now, until we see what the usage is exactly, I see him as a high-end RB2.
Yeah, and against the Falcons defense that allows 17.2 points per game to running backs. So, I mean, like, even if you do think he gets a bit of a knock, I think there's no way this week in particular you can sit Montgomery with no Herbert. Are they going to work in Ebner on relatively short notice versus the role that Khalil Herbert used to hold? I mean, maybe Justin Fields just runs the ball more. But like you said, we don't know what the usage will be exactly. So, yeah, I think I feel comfortable slotting in Montgomery, given what we have seen from him and the earlier this season and certainly last year as well down the stretch. I bet he was on a ton of championship-winning teams. Atlanta Falcons, I mean, it's a pretty short conversation, right? It's Patterson, it's London, it's Pitts, and I guess if you're in a huge pinch, it could be Marcus Mariota, but, I mean, he actually had not a terrible fantasy outing in week 10. I think he had a terrible outing in week 9. It was like a sub-8-point outing in week 9, and then in last week, he had around 17, 18 points, right? Maybe right in between there. He was still outside the top 12, but only by 1. He was QB 13 last week, but still, 2 QB leagues, you probably could do a lot worse than Marcus Mariota, and it's not as though the Bears defense is particularly stout anyways, but beyond him, yeah, Patterson, London, Pitts, and they're all pretty low-end players, I would say, at this point of the season.
Yeah, they all are. And there was a report today, and I think it was Ian Rappaport, that Marcus Mariota is going to be the QB going forward as long as their goals are in reach. And I'm assuming that that means the playoffs.
Okay.
I'm assuming, because they are 4-6, and they're one game or one and a half games, I guess, behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for top spot in that putrid NFC South. Now, having said that, how is Desmond Ridder not starting after what we saw last week? That was a horrible display of football by the Atlanta Falcons. If I'm Atlanta, I'm looking at this situation going, you know what, guys? Marcus Mariota is not the future here. Even if we do get into the playoffs, do we really think that we're going to beat the Eagles? Do we think that we're going to beat the Vikings, the Dallas Cowboys? Like, insert team here, you are not beating them. So what exactly is the point of making the playoffs with Marcus Mariota as the quarterback? He's killed Kyle Pitts' value. He's killed Drake London's value. He's killed my love for watching the Atlanta Falcons, who used to be fun. And Arthur Smith still sucks. I just don't get it. I do wonder if they lose today, and maybe they lose the next couple weeks, that we do see Desmond Ridder. But to even have that kind of a vote of confidence for Marcus Mariota, who's completed 61.9% of his passes for 1,747 yards with 7 interceptions to 12 touchdowns, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I kind of in the same boat as you. I don't really understand it either, especially when, again, and this is something we talked about, especially when there are a number of QBs at the top of the 2023 NFL draft that if you lose, like, 4 to 5 more games, and you maybe if you lose even more than that, given it's just week 11 this week, but you lose a number more games, you could probably find yourself in a pretty good position for the next couple of years, right? I mean, I'm not saying that, like, they would have to lose a lot more in order to be probably eligible for like Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or any of those guys, right? But boy, I mean, that's got to be a better option than, you know, being in QB purgatory going forward, which is like the worst place you could possibly be. And you can just ask any franchise who doesn't have a franchise QB. And it's probably like half the teams in the NFL that doesn't have QB franchise QBs that would love to have a Young or a Stroud or anyone else down there. Right. So anyway, I'm totally with you. And but for now, for this week, week 11, yeah, Mariota does kind of lower the ceiling and probably also lower the floor to essentially zero for all of the players in the Atlanta Falcons offense. Panthers Ravens, our next start sit here, Matt. And I'm not sure anyone's starting Baker or PJ Walker at this point. And obviously PJ Walker is injured. Darnold is the backup. So Baker Mayfield gets the start, it would seem. I don't think anyone's super excited about starting Baker at this point, which basically means the only two players you can conceivably start in the Panthers offense are Deontay Foreman as a middling RB2, because he touches the ball a lot, and DJ Moore, and even his value is like, I'd like to say WR2, but it's just been so up and down that maybe he's a WR3 with boom or bust potential at this point in the season.
Yeah, he's probably the latter. And it pains me to say that, because I think DJ Moore is such an excellent receiver. And like I said last week, there's nothing more exhilarating than watching DJ Moore block, because that's essentially what they have him doing. I do think that they'll throw maybe a little bit more with Baker Mayfield, but Deonta Foreman is just, he's been really good. RB7 the last 4 weeks. The Ravens are a little bit tough against the run, so I would temper expectations, but I still have him as a high-end RB2. This week, he seems to score touchdowns every single week, and he seems to just have success on the ground. And this is his backfield over Chuba Hubbard's. Can Baker Mayfield help DJ Moore? I don't know. I'm going to start DJ Moore just because, yes, the Ravens secondary has been better since they really struggled at the beginning of the season. They're coming off the bye. I would assume that they are ready for this Panthers team that's not very good. But having said that, there's still room here. If they can, they just got to feed DJ Moore the ball. We talked about it last week. When they get DJ Moore double-digit targets, DJ Moore produces. And that hasn't happened. And last week in the Thursday nighter, in a game that, you know, they should have been able to get him the ball against the Falcons, they didn't. So I'd be curious to see if they get him a little bit more involved with Baker at the helm this week.
For the Ravens here, we got Lamar Jackson. He's probably QB1 every week, like you kind of like you would have drafted him to be. He's actually rushed for 50 or more yards in 7 of his last 8 games, and yet he still hasn't gotten a rushing touchdown since week 3. It's week 11 now. That's actually pretty crazy. I know his bye was last week, so you kind of take that with a grain of salt to a certain degree. But either way, only 5 teams in the NFL have given up more fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks over the last 3 weeks than the Carolina Panthers. So I think you're probably going to be starting Lamar Jackson no matter what. But he's a QB1. Gus Edwards, we kind of talked about him a little bit before. Gus Edwards returned to the practice field on Wednesday, so it certainly looks like he is going to play. It probably means Kenny and Drake is going to just be involved a little bit less, but still, Kenny and Drake is going to be involved, no? I mean, it seems like maybe they're both RB3s this week just because they're probably going to cannibalize each other a little bit, and then you add in Lamar Jackson, who rushes the ball himself.
Yeah, I Carolina's not very good against the run, so I'm comfortable starting Kenyon Drake. It sounds like Gus Edwards is a game time decision, and as you know, show game time decisions with running backs really scares the hell out of people, and it is a hamstring issue that was ailing him, which is what caused him to miss the game before the bye week. The fact that he didn't practice in full all week and is a game time decision after they had a week off is a little bit concerning for me. I'd be staying away from Gus Edwards today. I would rather play Kenyon Drake, which pains me because I have Gus Edwards like everywhere, but I'm not starting him anywhere. We saw what happened in the game that he returned. That was against the Bucks on the Thursday nighter. And he came back. He looked great. And then he kind of tweaked the hamstring a little bit, and then he didn't come back, and then we haven't seen him since. So I would be a little bit leery about starting him this week. If you're in a pinch, sure, if he does play. But if he doesn't play, I would see if Justice Hill is available anywhere, because I do think that they're going to run the ball quite a bit today.
The nice thing about this is that you can at least make your determination on this very early on, right? Because this is a 1 p.m. game, so if 1 p.m. Eastern game, so if Gus Edwards doesn't play, if they decide at, let's say, 12:30 that Edwards is out, you can just stick him on the bench and make a decision, make a dominoes kind of decision basically right away. Like, you don't have to wait. You know, like for example, I am sure, Matt, there are people waiting to see if Keenan Allen does in fact play on Sunday night. I'm sure there are people waiting to see if Kyler Murray does in fact play on Monday night. And having to wait on those two guys who can be game changers when they do play, boy, that's, and I say this as someone who has shares of one or both in a lot of different leagues. So I'm waiting on both of those decisions, but at least in the Gus Edwards decision, that happens early on your fantasy football Sunday, so you don't have to wait too long. Mark Andrews, the other kind of a game time decision here. It does look like, despite the various injuries he has suffered this season, it does look like he is going to play. He's gotten a bunch of limited practices in, but I think one of the important things to note there is that I think he basically didn't go on the practice field for much of the media open portion of practice. And then a lot of the media did note as soon as they left, he came out of the practice facility and he went on to the closed portion of practice. So he did log a decent chunk of practice this week, and he is expected to play, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. So just monitor that, because, of course, Isaiah likely becomes a great play if Mark Andrews does not go, but it certainly looks like he will actually suit up in this one. Browns at Bills is our next one here, and again, probably a pretty short conversation, if only because the guys you start in for either of these teams, and don't forget, this game will be played at Ford Field in Detroit today in Michigan, so you know, it's an indoor stadium, not in the snowpocalypse that's going down in Orchard Park right now, where all those bands of snow are completely blanketing the field. So an indoor game for the Bills today, despite it being a home game. But again, the usual suspects, pretty easy to parse out, right? It's Nick Chubb for the Browns. It's Amari Cooper. That's probably it if you don't really feel super comfortable starting Donovan Peoples-Jones. If you do want to, maybe he's a lower end flex right now. I'm not sure if David Njoku is actually playing. He had that ankle injury that he sustained back in week 7. And Harrison Bryant, he's been the TE1, but I don't know if you're really starting Harrison Bryant. But if Njoku plays, I do think you can start him. Again, this game is at 1 p.m. Eastern, so another early determiner for all of these guys. But is Njoku playing? Have you seen any more news on that?
It looks like he is playing. Okay. He said he's playing. So from everything that I've been able to gather, he is playing. He is a good start.
He's been good.
David Njoku's been really good. And when we look at David Njoku in terms of points per game, David Njoku is a top 8, I believe, fantasy tight end. And Donovan Peoples-Jones just continues to be really good. Like, I do wonder about his rostership across all leagues, because he made our waiver wire pod 2 weeks in a row because he's been so good and nobody seems to want to pick him up. The Bills secondary is getting a little bit healthier, but the Browns are going to try and run the ball. They're going to try and control the ball against the Bills because the defense hasn't been very good for Cleveland. So I think we're going to get a ton of Nick Chubb. Curious to see what Kareem Hunt's usage is, because he was not very good. The Bills' run defense is good. That is the one thing that we can say. This one does feel like a blowout to me. It does feel like a game that the Browns are going to have to throw just to keep themselves in the game. So I think we're going to get a lot of Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think we're going to get a lot of Amari Cooper. And I do like Peoples-Jones as like a wide receiver 3 flex play this week. I'm not so sold on Kareem Hunt this week, though.
For the Bills then, Matt, beyond Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, because you know they're the main guys you're playing in basically any game that involves the Buffalo Bills, beyond them, like the next options fantasy-wise are Devin Singletary and Gabe Davis. They're both, to me, kind of middling to lower-end RB2s, WR2s, right? Which is in the sense that if they get to 10 points, then I think you take it, right? Like, if they get double-digit points, you feel good about it, and that's like anything beyond that is a bonus, essentially. That's how I view like the RB2, WR2, TE2 categories. It's a little different for quarterbacks, because quarterbacks, just generally speaking, tend to get more points than other positions. But for the position players, that's how I kind of view it. So if you get double-digit points out of Gabe Davis in a half or full PPR league, or Devin Singletary in a half or full PPR league, I think that you kind of, quote unquote, done your job when it comes to starting the right guys.
Yeah. And the Browns, like I mentioned, the defense is not very good. Last week I said the Bills needed to get Gabe Davis more involved, and they did. He had 6 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. So that is exactly what they needed to do to get the offense going. And Josh Allen's issues are Josh Allen's issues. By the way, we're just getting some news. It looks like Gus Edwards is not expected to
play. Oh, there you go. Okay.
So there we go. So that'll be a lot of Kenyon Drake. The Browns against the run are even worse than they are against the pass. They're allowing 5.4 catches per game to running backs, which is the 9th highest. They've also allowed, show, and this is the big one, 15 rushing TDs this season. That is second worst to the Chicago Bears. That is more than one rushing touchdown per game for those keeping score at home. So I think Devin Singletary's in a really good spot today. The guy that I'm curious to see how they get him involved is Nyheim Hines. They acquired him from the Indianapolis Colts, and I figured, hey, he's going to take work away from James Cook. That hasn't happened, but Sean McDermott did say that they were slowly starting to integrate Nyheim Hines in the offense. So I do wonder, in a game like this where it could get a little bit out of hand, if we do see Nyheim Hines. And let's face it, part of Josh Allen's problems that he's had is trying to force the ball. I wonder if the Bills start to use the running backs more in the passing game to open up the deep shots for Josh Allen, where he doesn't have to worry about throwing into double or triple coverage.
Every time I hear you talk about Nyheim Hines, I always think of that line from Mean Girls. Like, you know, stop trying to make Nyheim Hines happen. It's not going to happen. Okay.
What was the word that they used? What was the word she used?
Fetch?
Trying to get it to fetch.
Yeah.
So bad.
Oh, good heavens. Yeah. Okay. We'll see how much Nyheim Hines gets used today, if at all. But certainly, I tend to agree with you. I think this might be this reeks of one of those games where Stephon Diggs is going to have like 15 targets by halftime, and then they're just going to run the ball for the rest of the game. That feels like what's going to happen in this one, especially now that they don't have to deal with the crazy snowstorm happening in Buffalo over this past weekend. Let's try and squeeze in a couple more here before we take a quick break. Commanders at Texans. Taylor Heineke going to be the quarterback until, and I quote, until he is not. That is the quote from Ron Rivera, which is, I guess, means it's a vote of confidence in favor of Heinicke because the offense has been moving better. It probably helps when you knock off the only undefeated team in the NFL and the Eagles when he last took the field. So good stuff for Taylor Heinicke. He himself is probably a QB too, but some news for the running back situation there. Maybe a little less murky now because JD McKissic is, I think he is done for the season. He was put on IR with a neck injury, and it was the same injury that kind of ended his season prematurely last year. So I wish him the best because neck injuries, like that could legitimately put his career in jeopardy if he wants to be healthy. But without JD McKissic, that basically means that Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson can both probably be fired up as RB2s generally for the rest of the year. It'll depend on the matchup, certainly, but of all matchups, Texans being the matchup for the Commanders today, we talked about a lot of awful run defenses. The Texans have an awful defense, and certainly run defense in particular, pretty much all season long. So either of those guys, I think you can start as RB2s. Terry McLaurin has certainly seen a much better target share with Heinicke as QB versus Carson Wentz. So for me, Terry McLaurin is, and again, this is goes doubly after we saw what he did to the Philadelphia secondary just the last time out. But for me, Terry McLaurin is like a very low end WR1. Like I would be shocked if he doesn't reach double digit points and he's not injured, for example.
Yeah, I've got him as a low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two. Curtis Samuel is a bit of a risky flex play. Houston's surprisingly very good against the pass. But I do love both Washington running backs this week because, listen, Houston, we talk about the Browns being bad against the run. Ooh. Houston is horrible against the run. They're allowing a league-worst 156.3 rushing yards per game. Next closest team is the Chargers at 133. So they're allowing 23 more rushing yards than the next closest team. They're allowing over 30 fantasy points per game to running backs and 11.3 fantasy points per game in the red zone to running backs. Both of those, of course, rank at the bottom. So I like both of those guys. I think this game is probably a little bit closer than some people would envision because even though the Texans aren't very good, they're in a lot of close games. So I think that Antonio Gibson's going to get his. I think Brian Robinson's going to get his. And I don't hate on a Taylor Heinicke start if you're hampered by injuries or bye weeks.
Yeah, I don't hate it either, honestly. He's been pretty fantasy relevant. He adds some value with the legs too, right? So I think you can, if you're in a pinch, you can start Heinicke. And I think that probably more applies to QB or super flex leagues, I would guess. But it depends on your league, depends on buys, depends on injuries, but Heinicke is definitely not a bad play. On the Texan side of things, probably a short conversation. Damian Pierce, RB2 for me, with the potential to get into that RB1 territory, and he has 100 total yards for the seventh time last week in his last eight games. So, and like you said, only three teams have allowed fewer rushing touchdowns than the Commanders this season. So I think you're starting Damian Pierce no matter what is the bottom line here. But I think he is more in that high-end RB2 category for me. And he does see a lot of work in the passing game, or some work, I should say, in the passing game. And the only other really relevant start here is Brandon Cooks. He had seven passes thrown his way last week. And he had a touchdown catch that was called back because of a penalty. So if that wasn't a penalty, you're probably talking more favorably about a Brandon Cooks start. But still, this week against the Commanders, I'm going to go with a WR3 with potential to be WR2.
Yeah, and Washington against the pass, they're not very good, especially in the red zone. They've given up the third most red zone points per game. And that means that we finally could get that Brandon Cooks resurgence that we've been looking for. I do like the wide receiver three tag with some touchdown upside there. Again, I do think that Washington is going to give up points, and I think that this game is going to be a lot closer. I do like Brandon Cooks this week.
Let's squeeze one more in, Matt, just because we have. It's, I think this is going to be a pretty quick discussion. Eagles at Colts, and the Eagles. The Eagles, I think, might be the shortest discussion of the entire season, just because everyone knows what to expect out of these guys. Dallas Goedert is injured, but he is expected to return at some point this season, but he is on the IR, so it's going to be at least 4 weeks. So I'm hoping he's in your IR spot right now, or maybe you dropped him because you need the bench space, for example. depending on if you have IR spots or not. But beyond Goddard, I mean, you're starting Hurts every week. You're probably starting Miles Sanders as an RB2 with upside every week. And you're starting A.J. Brown every week, right? And you're probably even starting Devonta Smith as a WR3 possibly every week. I know there might be some start-sit questions with him thereabouts. But for the most part, you were starting basically all the main players on the Eagles' offense every single week. Like, I don't think anyone's starting like Quez Watkins or really feeling super great about starting Jack Stoll or something in the place of Dallas Goedert, because I think he is a special player. But A.J. Brown, Smith, Miles Sanders, and Jalen Hurts himself are the guys you start, which basically means on the Colts side of things, I mean, it looks like Matt Ryan is going to be the starting QB as long as Jeff Saturday is there, unless he gets injured. I'm not sure what's going on there, but still, winning a game against the Raiders is not the same as winning against a game against the Eagles, so I'm not sure you want to start Matt Ryan, but Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell are probably all starts, but to varying degrees, right? Like Taylor an RB1, Pittman a WR3, and Campbell, I guess, a WR3 flex play? I'm curious where you fall on Paris Campbell.
I just wanted to add one thing on the Eagles. I'm curious to see what Quez Watkins' usage is this week, just because Dallas Goedert's out, because he saw a little bit of a bump last week after he got hurt. So we'll see where we go there. The Paris Campbell thing is super interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. He's wide receiver 24 the last 3 weeks, and he has at least 7 catches and a touchdown in 3 of his last 5 weeks. So he's fantasy viable right now. He's healthy. And let's face it, Joe, against the Eagles, probably have to throw the ball to stay in the game. I know that the Colts defense has been good, especially the secondary has been better. But I don't see a situation where that Matt Ryan's going to throw the ball less than 35 times
this week. Yeah, I think you're right.
I just don't see it. I don't see it. So I you could start Paris Campbell as a flex play. I do think that Michael Pittman Jr. does get a bump because Matt Ryan's back. So I do like both of those guys this week. I have lowered my expectations because it is the Eagles, but I think both of those guys are startable.
Yeah, Michael Pittman in 2 of the last 3 games, 7 catches on 9 yards. And Paris Campbell, in the last 3 games Matt Ryan was a QB for the Colts, he averages roughly 10 targets a game, which is honestly pretty good. Pretty great stuff if you're looking for someone who has a consistent part of a passing offense, consistent share of targets, let's say, right? And like you said, the Colts will probably trail in this game pretty early. They're going to air it out or need to air it out. So I like Paris Campbell, and I agree with you. Yeah, Michael Pittman getting a bump with, everyone gets a bump when Matt Ryan is a QB versus Sam Ehlinger, based on what we've seen in a relatively small sample size. But still, Pittman has not scored a touchdown since week 1. So you're hoping that the passing offense is a little more robust today. And of course, yeah, you're starting Jonathan Taylor because he looks healthy. And when he is healthy, you have to start Jonathan Taylor. All right, let's take a very quick break. When we come back, the People's text line at 590-590, name and location. Shoot us those text line questions. We'll answer all of them at the top of the next hour. Again, the People's text line next on the Fantasy Show. Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you this week 11 across the NFL. Reach the show anytime on Twitter at SNS Ali with 2 L's, at MattyMar89, at the Fantasy Show. We're here for all your injury news and notes, starts, sits for every single game, and of course, the People's text line on 590-590. The text line, leave your name and location, please. We'll get to all of your questions right now, and the ones we don't get to, we will answer on off the air before we go for the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff. So, Matt, you ready to do some text this morning?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's text line.
So like I always say, you guys know the drill. You have plenty of time to text us. Again, 590-590. And any questions we don't answer on the air, like I just said, we will get to off the air before games start today. Okay, let's start with this one. Izzy from Richmond Hill. I also really like when we don't have to do the London games or like the international games, only because I invariably miss like 2 or 3 because of names and so on, because of like last names or what have you. So I'm pleased we're not going to miss out on anyone's text line questions before 9:30 a.m. Eastern, which would be like in half an hour. So this is from Izzy in Richmond Hill. With Cup out and 3 guys on bye weeks, I need 2 relievers and a flex. from the following guys: Thielen, Pickens, Sutton, and Donovan Peoples-Jones. And then he asks as well, are James Robinson and Kyren Williams relevant for flex? Probably not over those four guys, at the very least, I would think. Look, I don't know if you're starting James Robinson against the Patriots or Kyren Williams just until you see some more for him. So I, for me, at least, I don't know if you're different on that one, Matt.
I think the weather's going to dictate a lot of James Robinson today. Right. Sounds like there's high winds in that game between the Jets and the Patriots. So I think he could start as a flex, but in this case, I probably lean Sutton with no Judy out as one of your wide receivers. I lean Pickens. Man, Thielen hasn't been very good since the arrival of TJ Hawkinson. I think I lean Donovan Peoples-Jones. So Pickens, Sutton, and Donovan Peoples-Jones for me.
Yeah, you know, I don't dislike Thielen by any means, and I think his value is such that in a standard league, you probably like him a little bit less. In a full PPR league, you might like him a little bit more. But like you said, TJ Hawkinson has been a target monster. Like, not catching a lot of really long passes, but just catching a lot of smaller, shorter, dinky
getting in the
passes.
Way.
Yeah. Just like catching the ball, like falling down essentially to move the change, which is like great for real life football. Not so great for fantasy football, but again, in half or full PPR, Hawkinson has been not so bad. And in the TE wasteland, it's always something you you feel good about. No name on this one. I think this is from a Vancouver area code though, but still, this one says, which wide receiver would you bench? Rondale Moore, DJ Moore, or Garrett Wilson? Boy, that's a tough one. I almost feel like I would bench Rondale only because of the uncertainty at what the heck is going on with the QB situation. But then again, if Kyler Murray or Colt McCoy plays, there was some news that Hopkins might be limited with the hamstring injury, right? Like there was a whole bunch of kind of what ifs when it comes to the Cards wide receivers. Where are you falling on this one? So who are you benching? Rondale Moore, DJ Moore, or Garrett Wilson?
Show, it pains me to say this, but I think I'm benching DJ Moore.
Really, eh?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, the only thing that may change my mind here is that, the weather in the game between the Jets and the Patriots, it sounds like there's going to be like wind gusts of up to 40 miles an hour, and neither of those quarterbacks are Josh Allen. So I struggle with that. So I'm definitely starting Rondale Moore, actually, out of the three of those guys. And it's kind of a toss-up for me. I don't trust Zach Wilson enough in bad weather, so I'd probably lean DJ Moore, but it's a lot closer than I think a lot of people would initially assume.
Jets-Patriots is going to be the next start sit we do, but I just, like, Garrett Wilson, I have a tough time benching him, even though I know the whole Belichick thing, he, like, game plans for to take away your best weapon, and at this point for the Jets, with no Breece Hall, it probably is Garrett Wilson. But at the same time, Garrett Wilson is WR1 in New York right now, right? Because there's no Corey Davis. He's been already ruled out with a knee injury. So for that reason, I find it hard to bench Garrett Wilson, even against a stingy pass defense for the New England Patriots. And then you added the weather and so on too. But that might be the next answer there, Garrett Wilson after either DJ or Rondale. But so Matt goes DJ. I'm going to say Rondale. I'm going to keep Garrett Wilson in there for now. Tony from Hamilton, half PPR. Who should I start, Elijah Mitchell or Tony Pollard? My second question is, who should I start, Hayden Hurst or Tyler Conklin? So we'll get to the tight end question in a second. But who should I start, Mitchell or Pollard? It's not an easy question to answer, because you never know when both the running backs play for Dallas. You never really know how much Zeke is going to be worked in there and how much that limits the upside of Tony Pollard. Elijah Mitchell also got way more carries than I thought he would last week. I think he actually had more carries than Christian McCaffrey, I think, in the end.
He did.
Who are you going with here?
Oh my God, I hate these questions, but they're really good questions. I lean Tony Pollard because of the matchup. And while I do think that the San Francisco Arizona game, which is the Monday nighter, could lean heavily in favor of a game script going towards Elijah Mitchell, I just think that Tony Pollard is the more explosive of the two players, and I think that game is going to be more high scoring between Dallas and Minnesota. Minnesota's not great against the run. I lean Tony Pollard in that one, because even though Ezekiel Elliott's healthy, I just don't know how you can't give the ball to Tony Pollard, seeing as what he's done since Zeke got hurt.
Tony's other question was, who should I start between Hayden Hurst and Tyler Conklin in a half PPR league? Boy, I feel like I thought Hayden Hurst would be better with no Ja'Marr Chase, right? And again, Tyler Conklin, obviously this kind of is same part of the question we had when we were discussing Garrett Wilson just a couple minutes ago. So where do you lean on this one? I feel more confident in Hayden Hurst, but Tyler Conklin hasn't been a bad player over the last couple of weeks.
No, he hasn't. And that's, again, the weather in this one kind of, like, Tyler Conklin's coming off of a one catch for 7 yards game, but Hayden Hurst hasn't been much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I still lean Hayden Hurst. You know what I will do, Show? I'll go with the better quarterback in this one, and that is Joe Burrow, so I'm leaning Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably when you need a tiebreaker, that's probably a better decision. And yeah, Joe Burrow and Zach Wilson are not so much in the same conversation right now. This is a good question, and it's one I'm struggling with myself. Adrian from Stony Creek texts in to ask, PPR QB question, with Kyler Murray being a game time decision, do I take the risk or do I just start Derek Carr? My last resort, Matt Ryan, is on the waiver wire. So that's Adrian from Stony Creek. It's a great question because it just speaks to how you manage your roster with a very, like, even though Kyler Murray has not been like QB 1 through 5 this year, he is still pretty dependable. He's not going to be the reason you lose fantasy weeks. I'll put it that way, right? So Kyler Murray, game time decision on Monday night, and it's a hamstring injury. So they might be cautious with their guy there. And if that's the case, then Colt McCoy, he's not on the injury report. So Colt McCoy will be the QB as well. And it certainly seems like McCoy runs the Cardinals offense pretty efficiently. So if that's the case, the Cards probably feel pretty good about throwing McCoy out there. So I don't know. Like, personally, I'm a little more conservative when it comes to running guys out there. So I would probably not take the risk and just start Derek Carr. I don't want any part of Matt Ryan against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I would just start Derek Carr personally. But I'm curious where you land on that.
I'm actually going, can I go with none of the above? Well, I mean, it's kind of one of the above. But how about we do this? Because if Matt Ryan's on waivers, I'm assuming that Colt McCoy is also on waivers. And if Colt McCoy, so this is, I don't want to risk Kyler Murray playing on Monday night, but if Colt McCoy is available, I would pick up Colt McCoy because I like him better than I like Derek Carr and Matt Ryan this week if he plays.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. Yeah, because again, Colt McCoy, the floor is pretty low, but the ceiling is probably...
Threw for 238 yards and a touchdown last week.
Yeah, so I mean, 15 points, 16 points, thereabouts?
And I'll take that in a game again. The Niners defense has been good, but they're not world beaters at this moment. And it's a weird game because they're playing it in Mexico City. And I think I take the chance because if Kyler does play, then you're fine. And if not, I don't think that you lose that much because, listen, Derek Carr is going up against the Broncos. Broncos defense is really good. I don't see Derek Carr putting up 15 points against the Broncos defense this week.
Boy, I hope so. I hope he does, because if he doesn't, that means the value of probably every Raider has been tanked a little bit. Davante Adams, I think, is expected to play in this one, which will obviously help the value of Derek Carr. But, I mean, otherwise, the only other guy you're really starting with any confidence, I guess, is Josh Jacobs, right? And if that doesn't really help you out if you're starting Derek Carr, if Jacobs is scoring TDs. So, yeah, I like that one, though. McCoy, if he's available on the waivers over, let's say, Matt Ryan. If not, yeah, then I guess you kind of have to start Derek Carr for our pal Adrian and Stony Creek. Let's get to a couple more here, and then we'll answer the rest of these off the air. This one's from FaZe in Peterborough. Full PPR league, I can't believe I'm actually asking this question. And this is, I actually see this question a couple of times here, so this is why I wanted to answer this one on the air. Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields at QB? And, I mean, it was a no-brainer last week, because the Ravens run by, obviously. And we actually answered this question 2 weeks ago, which was the first time Fields blew up for like 40-something points. This week, however, Lamar Jackson coming off the bye. You imagine he's feeling pretty good. They're playing the Panthers, a team that has been pretty awful to opposing QBs. And you got Justin Fields, who's playing the Falcons. It's a tougher one this week. I think he'll probably be good either way, but it's hard not to ride the hot hand, especially against the Falcons defense, when it comes to Justin Fields.
Show, I will say this once, and I'll say it twice, and I'll say it again and again. Justin Fields is the QB1 again this week.
All right.
I'm going Justin Fields.
The thing, too, is, like, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Lamar Jackson was, like, the third
QB
best two. QB. Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you have both of these guys in a super flex league, you're laughing. I think you're absolutely laughing.
Can I propose an idea?
Sure.
I mean, although the trade deadline might already be gone, I would try and trade one of them and probably try and trade Lamar Jackson.
I actually did trade Lamar Jackson in our QB league, in our league at work.
I noticed. My team's not faring very well right now.
Let's get to one more here, Matt, and then we'll take a quick, well, not a break. We'll go back to the start sits. But this one's from Steven East York. He says, no questions regarding a lineup, but I do like when we get other kinds of questions as well. He does have a trade question. In a keeper league in which I don't look like I will be making the playoffs, would you trade? He says Henry, so I'm guessing it's Derrick Henry because not a lot of other guys named Henry. Would you trade Derrick Henry for a first and Jerry Jeudy? Have a great fantasy day, guys. Love the show. Thanks for texting in, Steve. It's a good question because this goes back to the conversation we were having at the beginning of the show about what you perceive the value of Derrick Henry next year to be. Not this year, but next year. What do you think? Do you get a first-round pick and Jerry Jeudy for trading away Derrick Henry? Because I guess it also means if you're getting rid of Henry at this point in week 11, it probably means your own first-round pick is going to be pretty high next season.
See, the thing is the keeper league is, if it's like in a dynasty league, I mean, it's probably pretty close. In a keeper league, it does depend on how many keepers are being kept, right? Like if it's three keepers, then yeah, I probably do make that deal. Because let's also face it, this draft class, even at the running back position, is going to be really good. So even if you get one of these stud rookie running backs coming out of college in the first round in a keeper league, because sometimes those guys do fall a little bit, I would be taking my chance there. So, and I do think that Jerry Jeudy is a really good wide receiver. So if you have an issue at wide receiver, you can get a first round pick plus Jeudy and you're going to end up keeping him, then yeah, I probably make that deal.
Yeah, I think I probably do too. But again, I texted Steve back to ask him what the rest of his team looks like and how many keepers you're keeping. Because if in the end it's like one keeper, then yeah, you might as well pick up an extra first round pick and get rid of Henry. But if it's like five keepers, then I might keep Derrick Henry, right? Like it really does depend on your keepers. Also depends on your running backs, wide receivers. Because if you have other good running back options, it might not make a difference. If you don't, then you might want to hold on to someone like Derrick Henry, regardless of format. But yeah, I like that one. I like when we get the non-start sit questions as well. I do love the start sit questions, but those ones are always fascinating to me. Fantasy police questions. Anyways, that does it for the start sits here on the Fantasy Show. You can reach the show anytime at 590-590. We will answer the rest of your text line questions off the air. So don't fret. If you did text us at 590-590, I will get on a phone call with Matt after the conclusion of the program, and we will answer all of your questions that way as well. But let's continue our start sits, Matt. Jets Patriots, I mentioned, was the next one here. A pretty quick one here, I'm going to think, because Patriots, it's in Foxborough. Like you say, the weather going to be pretty windy. I don't think you're starting too many Jets in this one outside of Garrett Wilson. Is that fair to say?
Well, see, that's the interesting thing here, because if the weather is as bad as we think it's going to be, then I do think that James Robinson and Michael Carter do garner some flex appeal. James Robinson, the last time we saw him against the Bills, had 13 carries for 48 yards. So not great in terms of the yardage, but we know the Bills' run defense is really good. He did also have a touchdown and two catches for 5 yards. So I do think that there's some value there. And he has the added week where he got to learn the playbook a little bit more because they're coming off of a bye. I don't hate James Robinson in this offense. And they're going to want to run the ball a lot. I see the Jets running the ball probably 30 times this week. And James Robinson probably gets at least half of those.
I also see the Patriots running the ball a ton this week as well. I got to say, Ramondre Stevenson has been a lot of fun to watch, just generally speaking, but he has been very reliable. I would say a relatively high-end RB2. And I say this knowing that the Jets' run defense, the Jets' defense, just generally speaking, has been pretty good. So I think overall, you'll probably feel better taking the under on this one, I'm guessing. But yeah, I think Ramondre Stevenson is probably the highest ranked fantasy player from the Patriots this weekend. And then Jakobi Meyers, as usual, is probably the next guy. But again, it kind of goes to the same conversation we were having about Garrett Wilson. If it really is going to be that windy, I can't imagine you're going to see too many passes thrown, just period, much less towards Meyers, for example.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Guys that play in the slot probably get a little bit more of a bump in value in tight ends just because, generally speaking, it's a lot more short passes when it's windy. So I do think that Jakobi Meyers is in an okay spot. The last time he played the Jets, he had 9 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. By the way, Jakobi Meyers scoring touchdowns in this economy in 2022? Like, what's happening here? But yeah, other than those two guys, I'm not starting anybody else. I do wonder about Damian Harris. They're coming off of the bye as well. I do wonder if he gets a little bit more involved than he had been in the previous weeks when he was healthy and Ramondre Stevenson was the lead guy. I do still believe that this is Ramondre Stevenson's backfield. He's RB11 on the year and didn't have a ton of work the first 2 or 3 weeks. So he's really had a meteoric rise. But yeah, Stevenson and Meyers are the only two I have any comfort with this week.
Yeah, I mean, after Jakobi Meyers, the next guy who you can probably trust the most in the passing game is Ramondre Stevenson, I would probably say.
Yes, that's a very, right? Very valid point.
So yeah, I think that if it is windy, and if it is as windy as we think it's going to be, if the weather is a factor at all, I really do think Stevenson is going to be probably one of the better plays of the week. Rams at Saints, our next one here. And Matthew Stafford did sit out in week 10. It does look like he will play this week in week 11. Even so, against the Saints, I mean, he, again, QB2 because he's Matthew Stafford, but still he has been not so great so far overall this season. Really, with no Cooper Kupp, I think we do have to kind of wait and see what the target share in this offense kind of shakes out as. Okay, is it going to be Van Jefferson? Is it going to be Allen Robinson? Is it going to be Skowronek? Is it going to be one of the running backs, right? Like, there's no real way to tell. So for me, until we do see some more clarity with Stafford under center with no Kupp, I'm going to just say that everyone should be treated as a flex play. And you should, if you get anything more than that, then you should feel pretty good about it.
This has to be Allen Robinson season now.
I mean, you would think, but we thought that in the offseason too, right?
Did Matthew Stafford have breakfast with Allen Robinson this week? That's what I want to know. Because if he didn't, then I don't know what's going to happen. Can I interest you in a Van Jefferson? 3 catches, 27 yards, and a touchdown last week. I still think that if I'm going to play any of these wide receivers, it's Allen Robinson, and I am playing him in multiple leagues. So I'm definitely on the Allen Robinson train. Tyler Higbee was the kind of the main recipient of any sort of volume after the Cooper Kupp injury. But let's also not forget, this was John Wolford last week and not Matthew Stafford. And the Saints have been the best team against fantasy tight ends. So Higbee does get a downgrade after his bounce back last week. What I actually think is going to happen here is they're going to try and run the ball more. And we know how that's going to work with 17 running backs in the fold. So I don't see a situation where I'm trusting any of the guys that they have. I'm not trusting Cam Akers. I'm not trusting Daryl Henderson. I'm not trusting Kyren Williams. Although Kyren Williams, if you are in a pinch in PPR formats, did have 4 catches for 30 yards last week. So a bit of a punt play. But the only guy that I'm trusting outside of Matthew Stafford is probably Allen Robinson this week.
On the Saints side of things, you got Andy Dalton, who is looking like he's going to be the starter, kind of like Taylor Heinicke. Like, he's going to be the starter until he is not, essentially, right? So even so, you're probably not starting Andy Dalton on a week-to-week basis. Alvin Kamara, boy, a real mixed bag for him this season. He has just been, like, not bad because he has looked bad. It's just the Saints just don't use him all that much. It's kind of baffling that they don't use him or who is probably their next best weapon, certainly Chris Olave, but just from a non-traditional standpoint, their next best weapon is Taysom Hill, and he's not getting used a lot. Like, I just feel like they can't decide on how to use all of their variously talented pieces. Chris Olave himself is probably a WR2, Kabara probably an RB2, and Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill, I guess, like quote-unquote TE2s. But it's just everyone on the Saints offense takes a huge dip, a huge hit, because Andy Dalton has just looked kind of uninspiring. And then the Saints play calling has also looked uninspiring.
Yeah, the play calling for me has been horrible. And not getting Kamara involved as much as they need to is a huge issue. I still do like Olave in this one. The Rams have given up the 11th most points per game to opposing wide receivers. Of course, you're going to start Alvin Kamara. He isn't tough. The Rams' run defense has been better. I expect them to use him more in the passing game. And you mentioned Juwan Johnson. He's tight end 3 over the last 5 weeks. Ooh. He has 4 touchdowns in his last 5 weeks. So they're using him in the red zone. He led the team in receiving last week and had a touchdown. Again, the Rams are tough against tight ends, but they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody, and I don't think that answer is Jarvis Landry. So I think if you're stuck and you've got some injuries at tight end, or maybe you're very leery of starting Mark Andrews because, you know, there was a question whether he was going to play or not, or if you're not sold on David Njoku against the Bills, I think that Juwan Johnson's a pretty decent start this week.
On the next start set here is Lions at Giants. And I think this might be a relatively, like, a higher scoring game than people what might imagine. I haven't looked at the over-under for this one, like the total points scored, but I am very curious as to what it might be, because there are a lot of guys you could start, but they all have had injuries, taken hits at different points. Like Jared Goff, for example, probably a QB2 this week. We talked about DeAndre Swift a little bit earlier on, and him and Jamal Williams. It has just been a frustrating backfield to have to own a part of because you never really know who's going to see more carries, who is healthy. DeAndre Swift probably not going to be fully healthy until next season at this point. But if he, like we always say, if he plays, you kind of have to start him because of how talented he is. They're both, for me at this point, going to always, at a minimum, be flex plays unless they just straight up don't play, obviously. But the upside is so much there for Swift, it's hard to ignore. But when it comes to the pass catchers, Matt, apart from Amon-Ra St. Brown, Khalif Raymond was the only other guy we were talking about really consistently. It's probably not a lot of other guys here, right? Like the Giants' pass defense has been pretty stingy overall, so I'm not sure I really feel super comfortable starting anyone outside of, let's say, Swift, maybe Williams, and then Amon-Ra St. Brown himself.
Yeah, and it's going to be cold weather this game. Of course, it's not in the dome because they're playing in New Jersey, not in New York, everybody. They don't play in New York. I'd like to continue to add that to the show. So I do think that Jamal Williams is going to get the work. I don't trust any of the pass catchers. To be honest with you, the second best pass catcher that they have outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown is DeAndre Swift. And he practiced in full 2 or 3 days in a row. So to me, that means he's healthy enough to play. His snap share did go up last week, 19% to 30%. Maybe they're getting him more involved. I don't know. Last week's usage was mind-boggling. Jamal Williams is going to get the work. The Giants' run D is tough, though. And that's where I think that if you want to be in this game, if you're the Lions, you have to get DeAndre Swift involved in the passing game. Again, he's not on the injury report, so kind of what gives here with him? I'm still playing him probably as a flex, because he still scores touchdowns when he's on the field. And we saw that last week. It's just a weird situation in Detroit. I don't know what the heck's going on there, but I'm starting DeAndre Swift in a flex, and I'm probably starting Jamal Williams because he seems to be the red zone or inside the 5 anyway, back for the Lions.
On the Giants side of things, you got Daniel Jones at QB, and I joked about this last season, Matt, where I basically said I've had Daniel Jones in one league or another every year since he was drafted. And this year I was like, you know what? I want off this train. I don't want to be on it anymore. And this year, of course, is the year where he has been actually pretty good, right? He's completing over 65% of his passes. He has 4 games as a QB2 range or higher. This is a Giants offense that Brian Daboll has reconstructed to be entirely around the run. And this actually does still involve Daniel Jones, the running game as well. He is 2nd on the team in rushing yards. He has 387 rushing yards. He has 3 touchdowns with his legs. And certainly Saquon Barkley are starting every week because he's an RB1. But the Lions defense has given up the most fantasy points to QBs at 23 fantasy points per game. And yes, Aiden Hutchinson's there. Jeff Okuda and Kirby Joseph are there in the defensive back secondary as well. But Daniel Jones, 8 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions. He protects the ball. I think you could do a lot worse than Daniel Jones, certainly on a week-to-week basis, but also this week against the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I think that Daniel Jones is probably like a back end to mid-range QB1 this week. Saquon, of course, we don't really need to get too much in depth. Darius Slayton is the guy that is of note here. And Darius Slayton is wide receiver 22 over the last 4 weeks, which coincides with Darius Slayton getting more playing time. So he's been really good, a really solid contributor. I think you can start him because, generally speaking, outside of the Packers game, which was totally weird, they've been giving up monster weeks to opposing teams' wide receiver ones. Weather is certainly a factor. We understand that. But I still do think that Darius Slayton's going to get enough work that you can justify putting him in as a wide receiver three with some big time upside.
Okay, before we hit our break here, Matt, I'm going to throw this one out to you because I've just been thinking about some of the lower ranked wide receivers that I've seen on the text line questions today. So let me ask you this. Who are you starting? And let's just say it's a half PPR league. Who are you starting? Garrett Wilson, Brandon Cooks, or Darius Slayton? Who starts between those three?
You're killing me, Shaw. You're killing me. It's only 9:30. Come on. I didn't sleep very well last night. Boy. I think that the touchdown upside of Brandon Cooks is higher than the other two guys. Both of them have to deal with weather issues, and Brandon Cooks goes up against Washington, who I believe is the worst team giving up fantasy points to wide receivers in the red zone. So I'm going to lean Brandon Cooks out of those three.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, then if you have to just pick between the two New York receivers, who gets the bench between Slayton and Wilson?
Oh, it's going to Wilson gets the bench over Slayton.
Really? It's starting Darius Slayton, eh?
Yeah. Just matchup based.
All right.
New England is a tougher matchup than the Lions defense is putrid. Like, I'm assuming that Slayton sees a bunch of Jeff Okuda, but even that outside of a couple of really good games, has not necessarily been a world beating defense.
Yeah. Jeff Okuda, you know, if Slayton gets the majority of his snaps, he gets the majority of his playing time on the outside. He might not get matched up with Okuda anyways. He might get matched up with Hughes, the Mike Hughes, who usually takes the outside receiver, right? And he hasn't been very good really at all. And Wandale Robinson, for example, probably also, like, I guess a middling flex play because he might get Will Harris and he's been okay. I mean, the whole Lions defense has just been okay at best, probably worse than okay for the most part of the season. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got five more start sits to go. If we have some time, we'll squeeze in some more text. But don't forget, we will get to all of your text line questions at 590-590 off the air after the show wraps up in the next 30 minutes. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Segment to go on the Fantasy Show here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you. Reach the show anytime on Twitter at SNS Ali with two L's, at MattyMar89, at The Fantasy Show. Still some time to send us some text messages at 590-590 on the People's Text Line. You can expect a reply from us after the show ends in about 20 minutes. Matt, let's boogie through these last five games. Raiders at Broncos. And we're solidly into the afternoon portion of the slate here today. And again, we were talking about Derek Carr earlier. I do have a hard time seeing Derek Carr scoring a ton of points against a very stingy Broncos defense. Carr actually has a 5-to-1 passing touchdown to interception ratio since week 7. And the Raiders have still only won one game in that span, which is pretty crazy, right? Like, again, if you have Geno Smith and Tua on their byes, Tom Brady, if he's on your bye as well for you, then, you know, you can probably do a lot worse than Derek Carr. But I think you temper expectations with him this week against the Broncos defense. Otherwise, you're starting Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams every week. I suppose there's a conversation to be had about Foster Moreau, but like, that's probably it, right?
Yeah, it's the Denver defense is just too good. That's where the struggle comes with me for Derek Carr this week. Like, I've got him as like a mid-range to back-end QB2. I struggle to see him putting up more than 12 points this week. And I just, it's a tough matchup. I think we're going to get a lot of Josh Jacobs. They're going to try and control the ball a little bit because their defense has just been so horrible this year, the Raiders has. And that's why, you know, they are where they are. It seems like it's a tire fire in that locker room. Like Derek Carr has spoken about how it seems like there's a disconnect with some of the players and you know, their give a bleep meter, it sounds like. So I don't like the matchup for Derek Carr. You're going to start Davante Adams. You're going to start Josh Jacobs. And I really struggle with even starting Foster Moreau this week.
On the Denver Broncos side of things, not a lot of guys are starting super confidently, right? I mean, Russell Wilson, probably a QB2 for the rest of the season at this point, unless there's a particularly great matchup. And usually you would think the Raiders defense is a good matchup, but it's just he hasn't looked great all year, and it didn't change after the bye week. So I'm not sure I'm going to bet on it, even though the Vegas defense allows the second most fantasy points to QBs. So this could be a spot start. I wouldn't hold my breath. Cortland Sutton, though, does get a bit of a boost because all season long, I still think he is a talented wide receiver. It's just he's been held back by certainly some injuries, but also the inconsistent QB play. Cortland Sutton, I'm going to say WR, like a low-end WR2, maybe even a high-end WR3, but probably no Jerry Jeudy here. So, you know, maybe the guy, the beneficiary of his absence ends up being Greg Dulcich and not Cortland Sutton. But those are the only two pass catchers you can start pretty confidently.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. There is an interest in Kendall Hinton. Remember that guy that played at quarterback?
QB, yeah.
And if he ends up playing, he was on the injury report. So super interested to see kind of where he goes because KJ Hamler, I believe, is out. Jerry Jeudy, as we know, is out. This, like we said, this quote unquote should be a good matchup for Russell Wilson. Clint Kubiak will be calling the plays and not Nathaniel Hackett going forward for the Broncos. So I wonder how much different this offense looks this week against the Raiders. I think that Russell Wilson ends up having a pretty good week, though.
Is Clint Kubiak related to Gary Kubiak?
It's his son.
His son. Okay, there you go. I mean, that tends to be the way it goes in the NFL when you have guys with like relatively similar names, but I was just curious. Our next start sit, Cowboys at Vikings, and the Cowboys suffering a particularly embarrassing loss last week to the Green Bay Packers after leading by 14 points. They blow it. They lose 31-28. Still, though, pretty much most of the guys, the usual suspects you're starting on a week-to-week basis, even against a pretty stingy Vikings D. I mean, you got Dak Prescott, you got Tony Pollard, you got CeeDee Lamb, you have Dalton Schultz. Like, Pollard, Lamb, and Schultz are all guys who you're probably starting most weeks. CeeDee Lamb and Schultz in particular. I mean, Lamb had, well, let's see, hit 11 receptions, 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns. It was 15 targets. It was a career high. 150 yards was also a career high. Dalton Schultz got tackled, like, on the goal line and still scored a touchdown later on in the game. So I think Dalton Schultz's usage as a tight end probably puts him into the top five conversation, especially with Goddard out. Probably puts him into the top five convo, I would guess, every week for the rest of the season, probably, right? I mean, it's an offense that throws a lot, and a lot of the targets go to Schultz.
Yeah, well, it's the relationship with Dak Prescott, right? He was hurt a bit and then didn't have much of a rapport with Cooper Rush, and then Dak Prescott comes back, and then he gets healthy, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's Dalton Schultz. I remember him. I like him. Of course, we like CeeDee Lamb. This is going to be a high-scoring game. And the Cowboys are going to have to put up points. The Vikings are going to have to put up points. I really do want to see how much run Tony Pollard gets with Zeke back. I have them both as RB2s just because the Vikings haven't been super great against opposing running backs. And I think they're both going to be in the 15 touch range this week.
When it comes to the Vikings, Cousins, Cook, Jefferson, Hockenson, you're starting all of those guys. If you're in a 2QB league, you're definitely starting Cousins every week. And if you're in a 1QB league, you're also probably starting Cousins every week unless you have a top 5 QB option. So Cousins is pretty startable as a low-end QB1, but you're starting everyone else every week, Jefferson, Cook, Hockenson. Where are you at on starting Thielen? Because this kind of finishes the conversation we had on Thielen when we were doing the start sits.
Well, it's the week where you're missing, you know, Christian Kirk and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So you're probably starting Thielen in a flex spot this week, and you hope that he scores a touchdown. Because over the last couple of weeks since TJ Hockenson has been there, Adam Thielen hasn't been great. He's been okay, but he hasn't been great. He had 5 catches for 49 yards last week, the week before, 3 catches for 67 yards. He does have at least 7 targets in all but one game this year. He only has 2 touchdowns, though, and that's where the issue becomes. He's a flex play, and you hope that he gets into the end zone at this point.
Yeah, like you would think and hope that with Justin Jefferson seeing a sizable amount of the best coverage every week, that Thielen would be pretty good. But it certainly seems like since Hawkinson's trade to Minnesota, he is the guy who sees the next amount of target share. And yeah, I mean, if you look at the targets since joining the team, TJ Hawkinson trails only Justin Jefferson himself in targets with 19. So that's something to keep in mind when you're thinking about the target share beyond Justin Jefferson. Bengals at Steelers, three more games to go here. Bengals Steelers has Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, all as starts, because you're obviously starting all of those guys. They just came off their bye, and they're facing a Steelers defense that has just been not great this season. I know they have a bunch of injuries there, too, but even when healthy, they have just been not so great. T. Higgins, WR1, no Ja'Marr Chase for at least one more week, so we'll see what happens with him in week 12. But Tyler Boyd, I would say Boyd is a flex play, probably. I know his, like, depth of targets, let's call it, like, in terms of, like, ADOT, it hasn't been great, but at the same time, they have to throw the ball to someone other than T. Higgins while Chase is out, and I think Boyd probably fits that bill.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd has 2 touchdowns in his last 3 games against Pittsburgh. This is going to be a T. Higgins game, but I think that Boyd does have some flex appeal here. As for Joe Mixon, let's not count on another 5 touchdown game, okay? Pittsburgh has been better against the run. They rank, they've given up the 19th fewest points to running backs, and Mixon, But we will say about Joe Mixon, career averages in 9 games versus Pittsburgh, so a very large sample size, 16 carries for 81 yards and 0.3 touchdowns. So he's going to get the work today. He's obviously the bell cow there. I think that Joe Mixon ends up having another really good game this week. Not 5 touchdowns good, but he has a really good game this week.
Yeah, he's been pretty phenomenal. For the Steelers, Najee Harris, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, probably the guys you're all starting or you're considering to start. But the only one who's going to be, like, none of them are going to be super consistent, I would imagine. But, I mean, you know, maybe Deontay Johnson and Freiermuth as WR2s, TE2s, and then Najee Harris as a very low-end RB2. I just don't want to rely too much on Najee Harris, really.
Well, it sounds like, and according to Ian Rappaport, Najee Harris is expected to get the bulk of the carries. So they think that they, you know, there's clearly something there. He did have 99 yards in week 10. He rushed for 99 yards in week 10 against the Saints defense, who's decent. Not great, but decent. And I think you kind of just have him slotted in as that RB2. I know it's been a disappointment this year. I get it. You're going to start George Pickens. You're probably going to start Pat Freiermuth. It's been really rough sledding for Deontay Johnson, which is a shame because I really like Deontay Johnson, but he does have success against Cincinnati. He averages 6.4 catches for 71.8 yards and half a touchdown. I think that both Deontay and Pickens are wide receiver 3s with upside. Again, we noted all the players out on the bye at the wide receiver position. I think in this situation, you're starting Deontay Johnson because I do think that this is a high-scoring game.
Let's get to the last couple ones here. Sunday night, Chiefs at Chargers. I think the only interesting question here is how much does Kadarius Toney see the ball, and are you ready to start Isaiah Pacheco, maybe as a flex play, Matt?
Yes, I am. I'm ready to start Pacheco, but, you know, it's the coach speak that really kills me, Show. Like, Andy Reid talked about, well, you know, yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't get a lot of work, but, you know, it was just, you know, the way that the game went and, you know, okay, so what, they're going to get him more involved this week? I do think that Pacheco gets the majority of the carries, and I would be starting Jerick McKinnon over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So those are the two guys that I would go with. I know it's scary, but McKinnon's just been, he's just been better whenever he's gotten the ball in his hands. Kadarius Toney, I believe, played 43% of the snaps last week, but he has basically turned everything that he's touched into gold. It's funny how Kadarius Toney was not healthy for the Giants, and then he finds the miracle drug to get him back on the field, and he's just been absolutely fine with Kansas City. He's going to get more work. Juju Smith-Schuster, I believe, is out. There is no... oh my God, who's the other receiver that's out there?
MVS.
Somebody else. MVS. And so there's an opportunity here for Kadarius Toney to really make an impact. I don't think that answer is Justin Watson, who played, I think 30% more of the snaps. We're going to see a little bit more of Kadarius Toney in here. I think that he ends up having a really good game. I like the upside.
For the Chargers, you're certainly starting Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler most weeks. Keenan Allen is a game time decision. Mike Williams, I think he is basically, he's playing today. I believe he is playing. It will be technically a game time decision, but I think you can certainly feel good about slotting Mike Williams in there. Keenan Allen, for me, a little bit less so, just because until I see him physically on the field running around, I'm not going to believe he is going to be playing until I actually see him physically standing on a football field while the clock is running. That's where I am at on Keenan Allen. If he does not play and Williams does play, you can feel okay about playing Joshua Palmer because Gerald Everett is banged up. So, you know, you can still see two wide receiver sets with Palmer being the second guy instead of the first guy. But if they both play, then I would probably put Palmer on the bench, Matt.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It sounds like Keenan Allen is expected to play, but I'm with you. I don't trust it. I mean, if you have Josh Palmer and Keenan Allen, that's probably your ideal situation. I know that's not always the case, but that's the ideal situation. Mike Williams has eclipsed 100 receiving yards in three of his last four games against KC, and he has four touchdowns in those games. So if Mike Williams is playing, I'm playing Mike Williams.
Hey, and he did say that he is feeling 200% this week. Ooh, so that means if he's
we know what that means.
That means he's going to get 200
two catches
yards.
For 15 yards. Two catches for 15 yards on seven targets. That's what's going to happen.
We got a couple minutes left here, Matt. Let's get through the 49ers at Cards game, which is the last game. I believe this is in Mexico City this week. I think it's another international series game. For the 49ers, it's the usual suspects, right? Like, you're starting McCaffrey, you're starting Ayuk, you're starting Deebo Samuel, you're starting Kittle. I think when it comes to the pass catchers, maybe you have a little bit of a lower expectation because you know this offense likes to run the ball. Elijah Mitchell is a very serviceable flex play based on what we saw last week. I still think McCaffrey is going to get more of the work than not. But still, I think, you know, overall, Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell, like, they're both good enough that you're going to see them both carry the ball to keep both of them fresh. Unless one of them gets injured, and they both have had injuries in the last couple of years. That's where we're at on the 49ers running backs. And for the Cards, I mean, basically everyone has some kind of injury designation next to them. So I think the only ones I'm feeling comfortable about playing on a regular basis, I guess, is Connor Hopkins Moore, and that's probably it.
So just on the Niners, just for a sec here, because I want to bring up how good Brandon Ayuk has been. Last four games, 8 catches, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns. 7 catches, 82 yards, no touchdowns. 6 catches, 81 yards, 1 touchdown. 6 catches, 84 yards, no touchdowns. He's been the wide receiver one here, which is a very interesting development. Deebo Samuel has eclipsed 70 total yards just once in his last four games and only has one TD in that time. So I'm downgrading Deebo Samuel to a flex. Brandon Ayuk is a wide receiver, high-end wide receiver two for me with a low-end wide receiver one chance as well. For the Cardinals, Rondale Moore is the guy that I think benefits the most from Zach Ertz being out for the year. Lots of underneath work for him. 24 catches the last 3 weeks. He has 92, 69, and 94 receiving yards the last 3 weeks. And with DeAndre Hopkins questionable, I figure he's going to play. I think that they're fine. Even with Colt McCoy at quarterback, there was no drop-off for DeAndre Hopkins and Rondale Moore. I like both guys, whoever is at quarterback.
That does it for our start sits here on the Fantasy Show. Appreciate you guys all bearing with us here. Inside the Lines is next. But before we go, Matt, what do you think? Do the Argos, do they upset the Winnipeg Blue Bombers today? What do you think? The spread was +5.5. So what do you think? Do the Argos at least cover the spread today?
I know my dad hopes so, because my dad was trying to put, he's like, you know, you should watch some of the game. I'm like, there's 4 o'clock games on in the NFL, Dad. And I got to talk about them when we come on the air the next week. So I think the Argos just flat out win.
Ooh, okay.
I think they pull off the upset and they win the Grey Cup. And I know my dad will be very appreciative of me saying that. So I guess go Argos.
Hey, look, I guess. Anytime a Toronto team is in the biased for me, certainly, but anytime they're in a championship, I will cheer for them. That's, I guess, simple as it gets for me, right? So, and you know what? The Blue Bombers have won the last 2 straight Grey Cups. Give someone else a chance. give someone else a chance. I'm rooting for the Argos, but that does it for the fantasy show. Matt, good luck to your fantasy teams this week. Good luck to all of the fantasy teams out there. You can reach the show anytime on Twitter at SNS Alley with two L's, at MattyMar89, at the fantasy show, and of course the people's text line at 590-590, name and location. Matt and I will hop on a phone call in about 5 minutes and answer all of your texts. But from all of us here at Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network, good luck this week. Talk to you next week.